Let's turn in God's Word to Genesis, the first book of Scripture, Genesis chapter 46. Genesis 46, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 34. Genesis 46 and verse 1. God's people, these are the words of the living and true God. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, and their little ones, and their wives, and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt: Jacob and his sons Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, the sons of Reuben, Hanok, and Phallu, and Hezron, and Carmi. And the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, and Jamin, and Ohad, and Jochin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanitish woman. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And the sons of Judah, and Onan, and Shelah, and Pharez and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Pharez were Hezron and Hemuel. And the sons of Issachar, Tola, and Phuva, and Job, and Shimron. And the sons of Zebulun, Sered, and Alon, Jahleel. These be the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob in Paddan Aram, with his daughter Dinah. All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. And the sons of Gad, Ziphion, and Haggi, Shuni, and Ezbon, Uri, and Orodi, and Arali. And the sons of Asher, Jimna, and Ishua, and Ishui, and Beriah, and Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Beriah, Heber, and Melchiel. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter. And these she bare unto Jacob, even 16 souls. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph and Benjamin. And unto Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And the sons of Benjamin were Bela, and Becher, and Ashbel, Gera, and Naaman, Ehi, and Rosh, Mupim, and Hupim, and Ard. These are the sons of Rachel, which were born to Jacob. All the souls were 14. And the sons of Dan, Hushim, and the sons of Naphtali, Jazael, and Guni, and Jezer, and Shalem. These are the sons of Bilhah, which Laban gave unto Rachel, his daughter, and she bare these unto Jacob. All the souls were 7. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 60. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me, and the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even until now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. Those are God's words. Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers. That was the last chapter, as they reunited following their repentance, and they returned then to their father Jacob and told him that Joseph is alive, and for the whole household to be brought up to Egypt to be reunited to Joseph and receive the whole land of Goshen and survive the famine that still had 5 years left in it. Through verse 4 is the Lord's promise to Jacob that he will be with him as he goes into Egypt, and a promise that they will be brought up again from Egypt exactly according to the promise the Lord made to Abraham. And through verse 27, the whole family and household go down to Egypt. Notice, beloved, that the Lord who bore the nation of Israel on eagle's wings, bringing them up out of Egypt and into the promised land flowing with milk and honey, is the Lord who sent them into the land of Egypt, into the place of great suffering to begin with. And here he says, Fear not. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Again, in part fulfilling the promise to Abraham. He says, I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will surely bring thee up again. Our Lord put Israel in Egypt, and there they would undergo such misery and hardship for 400 years. By the decretive will of God, He placed them there. Why would He put them in a place where they'd have to endure such hard circumstances and then deliver them out of it? Well, generally throughout Scripture, those called to important services in His kingdom have been trained in the school of affliction. And all of it is so that God would be honored and glorified as the gracious and all-powerful sovereign Lord of creation. And also to show them the great picture of redemption, as He redeemed them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. There's nothing that happens in heaven and earth apart from the will of God. At the end of the passage, we see Jacob meet Joseph again, as well as then instructions for their introduction to Pharaoh, which we'll see in the next chapter. Because the very last phrase of the last verse, since a shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians and their shepherds. And this we are pointed to an obvious truth, that the Lord permits and decrees at times that the world to hate His own because of their sin, the world's sin. And yet Joseph would have them not to be ashamed of who they are in their calling of the Lord, just because some in the world might hate them. The same with us today. If you have a good and right calling from the Lord, if you're a Christian, then the world hates you because of it. Well, don't be ashamed that you're a Christian. Don't be ashamed of who you are and your calling to the Lord. That's where the Lord wants you. That's why the Lord called you to it. And He will, through any suffering you endure, be in that calling as a Christian that we experience, He'll bring us through to the promised land, even home, the heavenly country in which we long for even now, to be with Him forever and ever. That's what this chapter is about. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for your word. If we would just read this passage of Scripture, we'd probably not remember the covenant promises of Abraham and all the hope that is found here. We're thankful for your word. We're not thankful for part of it, we're thankful for all of it. That it all works together because it is your word, truth. There's no errors in it. Everything goes together in one perfect harmony. We're thankful for the promises you make and how you always keep your promises. This is just further testimony that you do so. And Father, we ask that you would help us to focus on eternity. Have us to be heavenly minded instead of earthly minded. That we would be eternally minded with that hope that we have in Christ alone. That you would turn us from our wicked ways, our sinful ways, where we have broken your commandments. You commanded Jacob not to fear going into a hostile and foreign nation. And that's exactly where we are today. We are in a foreign nation because our home is with you and with your Son, by your Spirit, with your people, with all the myriads of angels who are called, predestined, and foreordained for loving you. And Father, we have often turned from desiring that and eternity with you, and we'd rather have the pleasures and things of this world, the lust of the flesh, and the pleasures of this life. But Father, forgive us for our vanity, our coveting, our breaking of all your commandments, even against our neighbor, where we have not loved them. But the greater commandment, Father, we've broken this also because we've made other gods. We have worshipped those gods, false gods. We've not kept your day holy. And Father, we've taken your name in vain. Because we have not honored you, we'd rather honor the things of the world. We'd rather spend our time outside of this place doing other things, enjoying other things, rather than being here and worshiping you on your day, morning and evening, the Lord's day. To rest in you, a great privilege that we have. Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our idolatries. Forgive us of our stealing from you and our adultery against you and not honoring you. Father, what a gracious God you are, that you're a God who forgives your people. For Christ has died for our sins. He paid the penalty of sin, condemnation, the unmitigated forever wrath of God poured out upon him, the only one who could receive such because he is not just man, but the God-man. Two natures, one divine person forever. And so we exalt in Christ your Son, who alone could pay the penalty for our sins and did pay the penalty for our sins for all who believe on him. And you are faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us of our sin as far as the east is from the west. What great promises of your forgiveness to us, even as we've heard last Lord's Day. As you will forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And so, Father, make us to be a forgiving people as you are a forgiving God. Even as we sin against you and your holiness, you're the God of holiness and righteousness. And yet through Christ we are justified imputed with his righteousness, credited with his righteousness alone. So, Father, we give you praise for the promises that even in this life, as we go through sufferings, many things we will suffer, especially if we are faithful to you and faithful to tell people about the cross, about your Son, about you and the gospel, the good news. We will suffer. Those who are heirs of Christ, heirs of God, will be persecuted. And so, Father, uphold us in such times and make us to look to you, look above the sun, and look in hope for that eternity that awaits your children. Father, we pray for those who are persecuted today, who are suffering today, and the church throughout the world. You would uphold them and strengthen them, and the many nations and the continent of Africa and Asia, all the continents, Father. Even our brothers and sisters in Canada, which some of us here know dearly. Father, there they have put up fences around a church building and stationed police checkpoints on all the roads leading to a church there in Edmonton so that they can't worship. But that doesn't stop your worship. That doesn't stop the gospel going forward, because while princes and kings rage against you and your ways and your worship, you sit in the heavens and laugh. And you laugh at them because of their worthless attempts to stop you and the gospel and your kingdom going forward. But Christ sits on the throne. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop the gospel. Nothing can stop your kingdom. Nothing can stop the church. Not even the gates of Hades can prevail against your people and your kingdom, because you uphold us. And you uphold our brothers and sisters who are still worshiping today, even though they're not worshiping at their building. Uphold them. Uphold our brothers who are of our denomination there as well, who are still worshiping in the face of great attacks and pray for those members who refuse to worship. Convict them of their sin of forsaking the assembling together of your people for fear of a virus, for fear of government. Father, we do pray also for the churches here. We're thankful for how you have upheld us for these many years. You continue to grow us in faith and sanctification and number, for we pray would be for the growth of your kingdom. We pray you would grow us to such an extent that we'd be able to plant another church and another one after that, that your name would keep going forward, and even from this congregation you would call future elders and pastors and deacons to serve you and your church. Help us in our homes to have godly homes, raising our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that all of our children would be raised according to your word. And if it be your mercy and by your grace you would save all of them, even those who have gone out from us, that you would turn them back to you. Father, all of our children, we pray that you would give them faith in Christ your Son, from the youngest to the oldest. Father, I pray for the Shawnee Church, you would grant wisdom to Harry Ward and Barry Van Horn as they've been elected as elders. Give them wisdom if they should take that office or not. Father, we ask that you would provide a minister for them who has a consistent ministry. And Joe Allen, I pray that you would provide a call for him. And as he preaches in Shawnee this morning, bless him and that congregation. Father, we pray for Arian that you would keep healing her of her blood clots. Thankful that she's still feeling better. You are the God who heals. Just as you have healed her soul, we know that you can heal her body with a word. Pray that you would do so and may your will be done. I pray for Adasa, you would strengthen her. Keep healing her as you have, little by little. That we could continue to praise your name and praise you in her life. And that your name through her would be given all glory and praise. And not one doctor, not one parent receive the glory, but you alone. Father, help us now as we continue worshiping you. Keep us from our fleshly ways, our sin. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, even by your word and by your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.